Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, Rich Kasten over here, host for Buckhead Business Radio, favorite time of the week, and just enjoying our $1 million view. If you haven't seen it, come on down, right?
Yeah,
be a guest on the show.
Be a guest, enjoy some good hot radio topic talk, and enjoy the view as well.
Right, absolutely. We're the only radio station with an amazing view. But so if you're tuning in, again, it's Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Kasten over here alongside my co-host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. How are you this morning?
I am unbelievable, Rich. Another Tuesday here in Buckhead, and looking forward to today's episode of Buckhead Business Radio.
Absolutely. Life is good. And speaking of our show, we just like to remind our listeners, we are Atlanta's only unabashedly pro-business radio talk show. So no gotcha questions, no 60 minutes. Here having great conversation with interesting folks with compelling stories to tell. And before we kick off the show, we kind of have a public service announcement of an event coming up here. We want to share with our listeners and kind of get the good word out. This is on behalf of the Buckhead Business Association, which if you're in the area is a great association. They have a spectacular event coming up next week, right?
That's right, Rich. Next Tuesday, June 23rd at 11:30 a.m., they're having a signature luncheon with the very first keynote address as the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, will be down there speaking to the guest. So get your tickets now. You can go to buckheadbusiness.org to join that luncheon and listen to Mr. Quinn speak about his experiences as head coach now of the Atlanta Falcons.
And Dan, if you're listening, we're giving a shout out to come on. Actually, it's happening two doors down from our studio at the Marriott Conference Center. And so Dan and your folks, I guess he's got people, right? At that point, you've got people, right?
Yeah. His handlers will make that happen.
Come on down before the luncheon. We'll have you on the show. So, excited to get that news out. Let's jump into our guest currently in the studio. And let's just say hi, if you would, to each guest. And maybe we'll just ask you to kind of introduce yourself, mention who you're with, and what you'll be chatting and sharing with the folks here in the studio. So let's start to my right. Welcome to the studio. And you are?
Sherry Von Klitzing. I'm a vice president, mortgage loan origination with Private Plus Mortgage here in Buckhead.
And we'll talk in a minute about, and you're going to be talking about all numbers about mortgages and the good news, right?
Correct.
Okay. And to my left, Montina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And what will you be sharing and chatting with our folks this morning?
Today, I'm going to talk about the CIA, the Creative Internet Authority, and we're talking Marvel.
Easy there, yeah. Clarify the name again. It's not these.
Creative,
it's the other
Internet
CIA, right?
Authority, and we're going to talk marketing today.
Okay, nice. And Ryan, why don't you introduce our first segment, the gentleman here joining us in the show, in the studio.
He is with Peachtree College Planning, and his name is Stuart Conzeri. He has held a variety of positions within the financial service industry for more than 14 years. Originally from Washington, D.C., Stuart was deputy director of several major donor fundraising programs at the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in communications from Tulane University and an MBA from Mercer University. Did you know, Rich, that Peachtree College Planning is the only full-service college planning firm in Georgia? The firm was created in 2009 out of a need to help families pay for college and, most importantly, assist them in selecting the best schools for their children. College planning is a three-pronged process: student positioning, maximizing financial aid, and creating a plan to pay for college. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you very much.
Well, my
happy
pleasure
to be here today.
And you asked me that question. I didn't give a chance to answer. I guess it was a rhetorical question, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Also joining Stuart is?
From Peachtree College Planning is David Hughes. He is an Atlanta native and a University of Georgia Terry College of Business graduate. He also attended Walton High School here in metro area, and David is a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable, considered a standard for excellence in the financial services industry. He has worked in the financial fields of insurance, wealth, and risk management since 2000, and co-founded Peachtree College Planning in 2009. He is married with two children, and David serves on his church's finance committee.
That's a good committee to be on at the church, right? Makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's a good fit.
Yeah. All right. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show. Excited to kind of delve into your topic here. And so we're going to be talking college planning. Yes or yes?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to ask just the question. Y'all kind of jump in, whoever wants to take on a couple of questions here. So just college planning overall. How long has the company been around? What's your kind of background? How did you come up with the idea? What brought you to this point, I guess? Yeah.
We started at the infancy when we started our financial planning firm. We realized that families were coming to us and didn't know how to pay for college, and we didn't realize it was such a problem until we realized the cost of college in the United States for an average, just public university, is $24,000. Private schools are $35,000, and your elite schools are $73,000. That's when we realized we had a big problem.
Big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that, elite school? I've never heard of those. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing you. It's a little pricey.
Well, and that's a year.
Wow.
So couple that by four or five.
And so you saw a need for folks that were struggling with those challenges?
We saw a significant need because that is the biggest toll or tax on the way to a family's retirement. Your three biggest expenses are your home, college, and retirement. And you can finance your home, you can finance college, but you can't finance retirement. So we realized that we needed to help these families do something.
Okay, and speaking of families, and what about some tips for their listeners, some ideas, how would they go about maybe saving for...
Well, start early is okay. What we always say, but we typically, we get the folks that are already in high school. So,
really?
We kind of come in at the end of the story here.
Okay.
Because most people just, they're going through life and they're just unable to really put away the assets that they need to fund college. So that's why we're here, and we've been helping a lot of folks. So it's been great.
I mean, it is, because it's like you just always figure tomorrow, right, down the road, mm-hmm. you know, and all of a sudden you're at that road and you're up a creek. Yes?
Unfortunately, it does.
Unless they're consulting with y'all.
That's why they come see us.
Right.
Yep.
So what are some the three biggest challenges? You had to kind of pick three. What are the three challenges facing families, you know, when they look to apply for their children for college?
I really think one of the biggest ones is action. Most families, it's almost like they don't want to think about college, so they don't do anything. And then all of a sudden it's junior year and they realize, oh, I've got to send my kid to college. So I think action and understanding really the cost of college and the way college continues to increase. It goes up at anywhere from 5 to 8% a year. So I'd say that's it, Dave.
Yeah, and I think here in Georgia, a lot of folks view the Hope Scholarship as their college plan.
Right.
And that's really not a plan. It can be a part of the plan, right. But... I don't know if you know, Rich, but the national average it takes a student today in the U.S. to get a four-year degree, how long do you think that is?
I'd say 5.5.
6.2 years is the average length of time it takes someone
I
to get
a four-year
degree.
I knew it was more
than
four. Yeah. Yeah, I did it 2.5, but that's because they asked me to leave.
Oh, there you go.
No. So that's the second, and it go back to action. It's really like lack of action, or is it fear? I mean, what do you attribute them not taking action?
I think it is fear. We always say college planning is it's like a three-legged stool.
Okay.
You have to have an academic fit for the student,
right?
A social fit, which a lot of parents don't put a lot of weight on, and
right.
then a financial fit. If you can do those three things yeah. well, you can save easily $15,000 to $60,000 on a four-year education.
Wow.
But it's education.
But,
you know,
yeah.
they don't know. They don't. I always say, come to a presentation,
right.
learn what college is this day and age. Because when we were in school, you just applied and it was cheap. You could
right.
get in. Now,
exactly, yeah.
it's a different animal.
So it's the education of the financial education of further education.
Yes, sir.
All right. To go back to Hope Scholarship. I haven't visited that topic in a while. Sure. There were some changes a while back, or what's the from its original inception? I mean, kind of bring us current, or what changes, if any, have occurred?
Well, they have been lowering the amount of money that the Hope Scholarship pays, and I always kind of tell people it's not that the lottery has been mismanaged.
Right.
It's just the lottery hasn't been able to keep up with that 5 to 8% annual increase in the cost of education. And so they had to do one of two things. They either had to make it harder to obtain or lower the benefit. And so they kind of did a mixture of both. But it doesn't provide nearly as much funding as a family thinks they're going to receive.
Right. Yeah, I ran into some folks recently that work for the Georgia Lottery commission, I guess, but the and this is probably, I don't know if it's in your wheelhouse or off topic, but I'm kind of intrigued of an analysis of where does all that money go. It just seems like there's just like boatloads of money, and yet we're struggling at all levels of the education system, right? Yes or yes?
No, yes. Most people attribute the high cost of college to the amenities, you know, the lazy river, or the rock climbing wall. It's really at the public institutions, it's the states cutting back that funding. So you're right. Where is all that money going?
I mean, it's insane in the billions upon billions of dollars. But it seems like we're always struggling with finance in terms of education at all levels.
Yeah, the cost of college is just continuing to escalate, and then the state is dropping funding, and you know there's just a huge gap there.
Okay, let's talk about admissions criteria. What comes into play there, or what coaching or advice, or what maybe some things that people surprising or unknown about that process?
You know, I really think back when we were in school in the last 10, 20 years, it was really being a well-rounded candidate.
Yeah.
Now the schools are really looking for unique students. So the whole dynamic has changed. So, you know, you've got to go out for an elite school.
Right,
almost have to go out and create your own charity that cures cancer
to
get into schools these days.
Or some of those unique characteristics. What are some of the other things they're looking for? It's more competitive, so you have to kind of set yourself apart, right?
You have to. A lot of times, most people don't realize essay and interview at a lot of schools is really going to be the driving factor.
Wow.
Because test scores and GPA, you know, they're all statistically the same with each category. So you have A students, B students, and C students.
Right.
So there's no way to differentiate those students. So those become the two driving factors a lot of times. And then the financial position of the family.
Right, yeah. And then the family, you talked about the three-legged stool and the social element. A lot of times the kids have this idea of going to out of state or to California or elsewhere. And, I mean, there's so many moving parts to this. And y'all providing the financial element and consultation. But do you get involved in some of these, you know, as a maybe a third-party perspective?
We actually we have a partner firm that does all of our admissions counseling with our families.
Oh.
So all our families have a dedicated school counselor that walks them through the entire college selection process. But you know, to your point on the social aspect of it, Stuart and I can come up with the best way for a family to pay for college. We can drop what they're going to have to pay for college. But if they go to the wrong school,
right, yeah,
because it's not a right social fit, they're going to leave. And then that plan we just created is just going to blow up. So it's so important to pick the right school.
On the paper and the numbers, right?
You have
to factor in all these other things. Because like you said, the best laid plans. But if the kid isn't happy there, it's not a fit, then you know, you've wasted all that time and money.
That's the reason why most of these students don't graduate in 4 years. People take the whole process is backwards, kind of like a lot of things in our world.
Right.
Everybody focus on college, picking the major while I'm in college,
right,
and then a career. Well, the competitive landscape has changed tremendously. So you really have to focus on career. Careers drive the majors, and then your majors will drive the college selection.
Yeah.
That's how you're able to get a student through a school in 4 years and minimize your costs.
And speaking of costs, and obviously the whole topic of financial aid, can you kind of break down in layman's term? I mean, what's that process look like, or what is, you know, explain that process.
Well, if you look at these smaller private schools, they're the ones with the large endowment funds, and we typically see them giving the most amount of free money. And the reason they're doing that is they are competing with the less expensive state schools, and they know this. And to attract the students that they want onto their campus, and schools compete for students, okay? They do this all day long, and the only way they can do that is with their checkbook. So we see very, very nice financial awards from typically from the smaller private schools.
And what resources do y'all recommend during that process? I mean, besides yourself, are there kind of any go-to kind of you know, books or agencies or that kind of help this process along?
A lot of times you can go to the schools if you're maybe only applying to one or two schools, which we don't recommend, but a lot of families do.
What is a good number of schools to kind of get a good
six
sense?
To 10 is always what we have found to be the best, because you don't know what schools are going to give the best aid offer, and you want to pick schools that might compete with one another for that student.
Nice.
Because as Dave pointed out, schools do want students for specific reasons.
Okay.
You know, it elevates them. There's prestige. Think about it. Everybody in this room, if you had a college student, you'd pull out the U.S. News and World Report.
Right.
You want to make sure those schools are on the list.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Don't you think those schools want to be high on that list?
Yeah.
Why do you think they want to be high on that list?
Well, just for money, yeah. Well, and we don't think of them as a business, but they're at the end of the day, it's a business.
It has to operate right. like a bit. You know, being here, right. think about your probit. University of Georgia, what do you think the annual budget is to run the campus?
$1.50
Yeah, exactly. yeah. yeah. With a B behind it.
Right, exactly, right, yeah.
You know, so they have to have, it's. They all operate like a business. There's marketing. There's income. There's revenue. So understanding that, if you look at a school as a business first, you'll understand the whole college planning process.
Ryan McPherson here, just with a couple of questions about saving for college and planning for college. So you mentioned starting early, but how does these clients find you these days? How do folks reach out to you and know that you can provide that best roadmap for them?
Well, great organizations like yourself, of course, out
thank
there,
you so much.
Out there promoting nice. Us. So Twittersphere, get a hold of that one yeah. for us. And really, we are a partner in education with a lot of the school systems in Georgia. So the schools promote us to go in and have a free educational workshop to explain the whole college planning process. That's been the primary driver. But as more people have heard our message and understand and believe yeah. what we believe, we've had organizations like yourselves and mm-hmm. outside organizations really starting to promote us.
So that's good. So folks, you know that, hey, I got to start saving now. My kid is going to go to college hopefully one day. But is it only the parents' responsibility to save for college, or does the children bear some responsibility there too?
Well, that's, you know, that's a family decision. But we do like for our students to have some skin in the game, is what we like to say. We see higher four-year graduation rates when, mm-hmm. when the students do bear some of the load. So most of our plans, we do like for some of our students to have some of the.
So good. So it's probably good for you to meet with the children and the family all together. Do you often yep. go to their homes and just sit around the kitchen table and kind of come up with stuff?
We can definitely do that. Yep. You know, we have a very large conference room in our office, and we have lots of families in throughout the day.
Where is your office located?
It's actually right around the corner from you guys. We are right off Piedmont Road, just over 400 from 3500 Piedmont Road.
Buckhead neighbors here.
Yeah.
Nice. And what about websites or contact point of contact information? Share with us.
www.peachtreecollegeplanning.com is always a great way to get us. You can reach us at Twitter at hashtag or at symbol Peachtree, capital mm-hmm. CP, or our Facebook page,
okay.
Peachtree College Planning.
Absolutely. And home address, social security number, blood type, whatever. Yeah.
I'll let Dave answer that one.
Exactly.
I'll give Stuart's cell phone.
Nice. Before we close out, Dave, tell us about the Georgia Terry College of Business. I mean, they're two doors down from us right here,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Do you have any, just on a personal note, any connections over there?
Well, actually, Stuart over there did his CFP class next door at the Terry School of Business.
Because we've been thinking to maybe invite, they do a third Thursday mm-hmm. speaker right. circuit, it was what, right.
Yeah. And they bring in some great speakers.
Right, yeah.
Some really good events. I've definitely attended those in the past.
Yeah. So we talk off air, but we'd love an introduction maybe and have those folks in and kind of tell their story, what's going
yeah,
on.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, stick around, gentlemen. We'll have some maybe follow-up questions here for you. Thanks again for being part of the program and helping get us our word out as well as yours. So pleasure having you here. And okay, Ryan, who do you have up next?
Up next, we have Montina Portis, CEO of Creative Internet Authority, the nation's leading full-service law firm marketing agency, specializing in lead conversion for boutique and small-size law firms. She works exclusively with lawyers and law firms to attract new clients, generate more referrals, and make more money using online and offline legal marketing strategies. Through her famous personal transformational experiences and frequent appearances on network TV, shows including The Chew, Fox News, ABC, CBS, and NBC, Montina inspires millions of people to be superstars in life and business and live amazing lives. Welcome, Montina Portis.
I'm happy to be here today.
And now you've officially arrived, Buckhead Business Radio X.
Add that to your list of network appearances.
Exactly, yeah. I certainly will.
So I've actually watched a couple of your videos from your website, and so for folks that don't know, if you wouldn't mind, kind of share what you, you know, your backstory, right?
Yeah, when I was 18 months old, my mother abandoned me. My father was serving 20 years in prison, so I went to live with my aunt when I was 16, and she kicked me out, and I was homeless.
Mm. Wow.
By 18, I was pregnant, living in the YWCA shelter, and by 19, I was a single mom living in a homeless shelter with my 9-month-old baby.
Wow.
And I still managed to get my GED, graduate with my master's from college. So I appreciate what they're saying. And, you know, built my first home. And today I am the CEO of my own company. I've worked for the largest IT financial companies in the country, largest youth organizations. I've been blessed. So it just goes to show, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. Anything is possible.
And I know from one interview, I remember you were saying while you're working at the largest IT company, you wrote a book.
I did. Right?
And you had that box of excuses, whatever, right?
That's right.
That was such a great story or visual. But your story, 13 months old, you said?
I was 18 months old.
18 months old.
And to this day, I'm almost 40 years old. I've never met my birth mother.
Wow.
And, you know, my father died after serving 19 years of a 20-year sentence in prison.
Wow.
And so, you know, a lot of people offer a lot of excuses about their families. And I tell them, you know, I've never had a call on a birthday or Christmas or things like that. I have a very tight family with my husband and children.
Right.
But they're excuses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can make choices in our lives to live amazing lives, or we can make choices in our lives to live pitiful lives. And I just chose to live an amazing life.
It is amazing. It's one of the most fascinating things I love about this position. We just meet some compelling people, just amazing stories. Just had a gentleman here on our Atlanta Legal Experts show, and you met him in the reception, right?
Yeah, great David, connection.
I mean, yeah, it's just the stories somewhat align that he grew up in Miami on the wrong side. There's a lot of, you know, it's not just South Beach in Miami, right? And was imprisoned in gang, had to be kind of forced to survive to be in gangs.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, fast forward, he's now a professional attorney. But beyond that, I mean, what he shared with us is he never considered himself a victim.
Right.
I think once you adopt that mindset mentality, it's game over.
It is.
A lot of people live in that space and carry that. And you're not a victim of your circumstances. You can change those, right?
You absolutely can. And in my opinion, a lot of times, you know, I have a YouTube channel with 26,000 subscribers and 3+ million views at this point. And I've talked about things in the past of child support and, you know, having a GED and being a former mom that was on welfare and food stamps and Section 8. And people form opinions about people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? I am a person that was that, but
right.
I wanted out. I never saw it as normal.
Right.
I never saw it as woe is me. So
right.
I took the steps I needed to take to go to college, to surround myself with amazing people, and to ask for help when I needed it.
I mean, it's just very inspired by your story. So let's talk, you know, business now.
Let's talk business.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So how did you get started in marketing? I mean, how did this come about?
Well, in 2009, I turned on my webcam and started YouTubing and had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
And just kind of wanted to talk to the world. And I actually met my husband on Twitter.
Wow.
So social media.
Wow.
And so it just evolved with I started talking about just everyday things. I'm very much into natural products. I make my own lipsticks and lotions and hair products. And that's what I started talking about on the channel. And I made a product that was $2.50 and made over $100,000 within like a very short period of time with that product.
Ryan, can you believe that?
Yeah. And it was just the power of understanding. Back then, I didn't realize it was marketing.
Right.
But now that I'm in marketing, I tell people, you know, Rich, you're either intentionally marketing or you're doing it unintentionally, which means that marketing is just creating activities and content that's designed to make more people, you know like, and trust you.
Right, right.
Right? So that they refer, try and buy more of your services over time. So either you're putting an effort to do it,
right,
or you're just saying, hey, I'm just have a hope strategy.
Right, yeah. Or you're unintentionally doing bad marketing that is harming your brand and
exactly
and getting caught up in that.
We're marketing all the time.
Right. And to talk to us about your services exclusively for lawyers and law firms.
Yeah, so my services are exclusive to lawyers and law firms. I started the marketing online years ago, wrote several books on marketing and passive income and information products, 20,000 students online.
Wow.
And decided in early 2015 that we would do what we call offline marketing.
Okay.
I wanted to work with small business owners. And one of our clients that we picked up happened to be a law firm. And it's like the heavens opened up. They were
right.
Amazing client. And we found that a lot of people do what we call piecemealing services. They do website, SEO. So we took everything and now we do combined services, website, search engine optimization, directory listings are my favorite, which is video production and video marketing. Just a week ago, We went to a firm and did 52 videos in about a three-hour setting that we now market online every single week. So we create
strategies. Yeah, so you can stagger those.
Exactly.
So you put them in the can up front, and now that's off their plate, off your plate, and it's on autopilot for the next year.
Automation and systems and processes is what we put in place, because I often say they shouldn't be doing $10 to $20 an hour work when they're billing out $300 to $800 an hour. So we do it for them.
And so there's other people that provide services to attorneys and lawyers. So what kind of makes you different or unique?
You know, what I often tell people is, you know, one of the questions they have is, are you an attorney? And I say, no, but that's what sets us apart because I am not an attorney. I am a marketing expert. What sets us apart is we actually follow the guidelines and the handbooks for each state. So when we go into work with a law firm, we know exactly what we're doing there. Also, we only work with one lawyer, one law firm per practice area in one city.
Really?
So we're very exclusive.
Oh,
and
wow.
We offer a 6-month money back guarantee. No other marketing company on the planet.
Wow.
On the planet.
I got it excited right there.
He got excited at his chair drop.
Yeah.
So no other
Some people's jaw
company.
Drop.
It only
my chair
to him for some reason. Never happened to me, but
I've never seen a guest that does. Almost every show, I kick the side of the chair, and I that's a visual, not for radio, but yeah, no one else is like.
It needs to be on YouTube there.
It does. Yeah. Speaking of YouTube, yeah. I know Ryan had a question.
Well,
to jump
yeah,
in
I want to talk about social media and how important it is these days. You know, I've heard some both go on the offensive with social media, but don't just be defensive either. And what are some of your guidelines that you give your clients on the social media?
You know, Ryan, it's one of those things. You can be on the offensive or defensive, but it's still going to happen. Mm-hmm. You need to be online. And my viewpoint is for our attorneys and our clients, they need to be doing online and offline marketing strategies. So I believe that they should be on social media, whether it's just one post or update per day. Mm-hmm. You know, major ones, Facebook, Twitter, definitely LinkedIn. I can't understand why any attorney wouldn't have LinkedIn. They need to have a web presence. One of my favorites that most people don't talk about is SlideShare, because you're embedding presentations and PDFs that you can now lift and put on your website. Mm-hmm. And you can also put on LinkedIn. So my viewpoint is be active on social media. Make sure that you are not just putting out legalese. Make sure it's true inspirational, motivational content that's geared towards attracting your clients to you. So I call it an ACET: attract, connect, engage, and inspire people to take action. That's why you're online.
That's great. And YouTube, too. I've heard that it's second search engine behind Google.
Yes.
More people go to YouTube to look
at
things.
It is. Most people don't realize that. I've been in an audience, and I use that question. I say, you have 100 people in the crowd. I say, what's the largest search engine? Obviously, Google. What's the second? And people say Yahoo and list 20 other. They never think. But YouTube is second only to Google. And of course, they own them now, right?
Yeah, we talk YouTube. I wrote a book about YouTube, and I have millions of people that have viewed my videos. I have multiple channels on YouTube. And the thing about video and why I talk about it in the book I wrote, How to Market Your Law Firm Online, is you have to have a strategy, but video rocks, because you can pull out the audio, you can post it on your Facebook, on your website, you can transcribe it, and now you have, you know, different modalities of the learners that you're now attracting to you. So YouTube, and it's owned by Google.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Wouldn't
yeah.
you use
that's
YouTube?
That's the granddaddy of everything online, right? The godfather of online godfather.
And but, also the ads are cheap on YouTube. You're paying about 2 cents a click. Hmm. 2 cents for video ads on YouTube.
As opposed to AdWords or on Facebook.
AdWords, Facebook, but does it, PPC.
So I know you specialize in the legal arena, but some of the content or platforms are contingent somewhat on your type of business, product, or service, right?
It really is. The one that I didn't mention are two are, you know, Pinterest, Instagram, and of course, if you're in e-commerce, if you're a small business owner. But we do still do Instagram for our attorneys as
really?
Well, about once a week.
Where they take pictures of their briefs or whatever?
Well, you know what? We're taking
I mean, they're legal document briefs.
Yeah, right. No, but here's
careful
the thing.
There.
Here's the thing. We're all in here taking pictures. I posted it on my Instagram, and then it goes out to my Twitter. It goes up to my Facebook. It's about being everywhere without being everywhere.
That's a good point.
People are interested in your life.
That's right. And staying current, staying active.
Yes.
And you can take a photo of anything. You can take a photo of the microphone
yes.
or the wall, and that's still something that's going out there on the Twitter sphere or social media sphere.
Yep.
So we love that.
And it shows authority. And Google is looking for authoritative content, relevant and educational, and then we're informative. So again, people are interested in your backstory, and showing pictures is a great way to do that.
And so you help law firms get on page one of Google.
Yes, we do.
And those are just another way to kind of leverage that with social media. What are some other types of things you'll do to help those law firms get on page one?
So we make sure that we go in with a content marketing strategy. We also make sure that we're using keywords that people are actually looking for. We also make sure that they're listed on the directories, make sure, you know, their Google, their Yahoo, their Bing, their law firm directories are optimized. Mm-hmm. Again, video production, the video marketing. And a lot of people think about getting on Google in one way. Oh, my website. But guess what? Videos can get you on the first page, making sure that you have reviews in place, making sure that you're listed in the correct directories, making sure that you're blogging. So we make sure that they have content on their websites that, again, is relevant. We have an attorney here in Atlanta, and they're in bankruptcy. Awesome firm.
The firm itself?
Yeah, so the firm.
They specialize in bankruptcy?
They specialize in bankruptcy.
No, they're not currently themselves in bankruptcy.
Oh, no, they're not in bankruptcy.
We have a
bankruptcy firm, a law firm.
Thank you for clarification, yeah.
Yeah, and they, and so for one of the things we do on their blogs, instead of just talking about bankruptcy, we talk about events that are low cost and or free for families in Atlanta. Because, again, if people are contemplating bankruptcy, then they need to do things that are so low cost and free. But it's driving traffic to the site.
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking of YouTube, the most popular two words that are put in front of YouTube, right, are?
How to.
Yes.
I mean, that's where it's amazing. I had some friends tell me, you know, if you have a gizmo or a gidget and you lost the owner's manual or you can't figure something out, if literally you got billions of people around the planet that are just, you know, for whatever reason, are showing you how to work this widget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you
oh,
put
absolutely.
In how-to and you can make recipes to inventions. But go back to, did you say on Instagram, if you post there, it'll populate on the other platforms, or that's based on your settings, or is that unique to Instagram? Ryan's shaking his head because he's been trying to twist more. That's one thing we haven't adopted. We have an Instagram account, but never really utilized it.
Instagram is phenomenal.
It's not just for taking pictures of your clothing?
It's not. It is telling a story. So even right here, right now, you could be posting this that's going to go out to your Facebook. I have mine through a service called IFTT, If This Then That, that goes out to my Twitter. Automation.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because I used Tumblr way back in the day, mm-hmm. and I got off it because it wasn't something changed on LinkedIn. They stopped integrating or whatever, or talking to each other. What about Hootsuite or Tumblr or something? I don't give away all your trade secrets. So you can
They're not trade. You know what? I give away all my trade secrets in my book. I mean, you know, it's all about helping. I'm really big into that. But you can use IFTT. And again, you're posting on Instagram. It's going to go out to your Twitter. It's going to go to your Facebook. And I even did a video on one of my YouTube channels you can pin it over to Pinterest.
tell us about your book. What's the title and how can people find that?
So the book is How to Market Your Law Firm Online. And it's the Internet Marketing Guide. And it really does have literally step-by-step direction. And you can find it at, you know, how to market a law firm online, how to market your law firm online, or MontinaPortis.com. I mean, it's really everywhere. The thing about it, though, is I only offer it to attorneys that provide their information, and we ship them a physical copy. This is not an ebook.
Okay.
This is something that is very serious that we want to get into their hands, but we're marketers.
And tell us your personal domain and spell that for our listeners as well, if you would. Yeah.
So it's Montina Portis, MontinaPortis, T as in Tom, IS. I'm the third Montina in my family, and my husband's first cousin is Clinton Portis.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, NFL star.
Yeah.
There you go. How about that? Got some connections there.
Yeah, we can introduce a Fran Tarkenton that was just in the studio.
That's true, too, yeah.
All right. So we've been talking all online, but a couple earlier you mentioned some online offline strategies.
Yes.
What would be examples of those?
Oh, man, offline rocks. And we're not talking postcards here. We're talking
fax
about
machines.
Newsletter. No, we're not talking facts.
Come on,
we're not talking it. But we're talking about a newsletter. And especially with attorneys, it's important to have reviews and it's important to have referrals. And if they're not implementing an offline strategy, and a newsletter is something simple, it's not even talking to them all about legal. It could be something going on in the community each month. You know, every month we know June is Father's Day, could have a Father's Day post, mm-hmm. or they can have someone that they're highlighting. But a simple one or two page newsletter And again, you have a simple, small little place where you're saying, reminding your current client.
Top of mind marketing.
Top of mind Chet Holmes marketing.
Tomato strategy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you're there with the referrals and you're there again with reviews. It's very subtle, but it's again a way to stay in front of your current client base.
But that's a newsletter, email newsletter.
No,
that's
talking
what I'm saying, offline.
Friends.
So actually, you're single-handedly keeping the U.S. Postal Service in business.
We are, and we actually do this for our clients.
Thank
we
God.
Make sure that we have content writers that write the newsletter, and also we ship that out for them. And again,
so,
top of mind.
Other offline strategy would be like networking or face-to-face, or is it mainly just you're promoting the newsletter through the U.S. mail?
Yeah, direct mail is
direct
one
mail,
that we promote,
but
networking is extremely important. Understanding, you know, who your target markets are, what networking events that you need to go to, because again, we're investing time with our businesses, and of course, awesome things like Business Radio X.
Oh,
thank
all
you.
Right.
All right,
shout
and
out.
Show is over.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies
Drop
and gentlemen. Yeah,
leave.
Sorry, Sherry. Yeah, we always like to finish on a high note. Yeah, or on our note if possible. Yeah. So we appreciate you being here, and we're big proponents of getting the word out. There's very few platforms that are pro-business, right, that don't want to try to, like, you know, ambush you. But talk to us. I don't know if we have time for Google Plus, but there's so many platforms. I mean, it's like your clients, I mean, that's why probably they look for your services, because
yes.
Here at the station, we're just like, I think we need to hire a full-time person just to dedicate social media, because it just gets overwhelming. And just to back up for a second, prior to this venture, I was not a big fan. I just thought, you know, it's a waste of time and no one's, you know, listening or what's going on. But when we took an active role, it's been a game changer for the studio. We've acquired so many guests and underwriters, sponsors. We've made interesting connections with people that I don't know what it is about specifically Twitter, but we'll have high profile people interact with us on a direct message, or we'll retweet our message that would otherwise wouldn't take a phone call, or but then they end up, we have a personal conversation.
It's social proof.
Yeah.
And people want to see you online. Like I said, social media is not going away. You want to pick a platform. Twitter works so well because of the hashtags.
Yeah.
And remember, now social media shows up in the search engines. So if you put something out there, Twitter, Facebook, you know, with businesses, they have Facebook pages. But these all become searches for the search engines. And again, better ways for you to rank outside of just the simple traditional website. You're going to now rank for videos and posts.
Yeah, you may not know the number offhand, but I know we were chatting about the, not Google Analytics, but the Alexa rating.
That's right.
For
yes.
Radio X, the brand. We're like, what, 140,000 out of 1.2 kabillion?
Right.
It's huge.
I mean, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Because we just, every show, like you're on the show now, we'll put everything about each of our guests and their content, their brand on there, and it's amazing.
I think that's why, because we generate so much content, not only in our studio, but all the other networks at Business Radio X, that over the last few years, that, you know, just organically, we've boosted our Alexa rating that way. And we don't pay to be on Google at
no,
all.
We don't.
And, you know,
you
but
don't
if
need
you,
to.
You
yeah.
go on Google and you put in Business Radio.
Without the X.
Without just Business Radio, you will see that we're in the top three, if not top two, on a regular basis. And
well,
that's because of the content we generate.
And that's building authority. Remember what I said?
You.
Google loves authoritative, educational, relevant content and your information too. And here's the other thing. It is amazing for us as business owners, because it's a backlink now that makes my site rank higher, because Google says, well, they're linking back to her. They're authoritative. Well, then she must have something, you know, worth checking out, and it's authoritative as well. And I will rank higher because of the backlink.
Yeah. I mean, it's all those pieces of the puzzle fitting together.
They do.
But it does be kind of the holy grail is the authority position as an author.
Yes.
Right? And on the online activity. Two last questions. We're going to jump over to Sherry here in just a second. So are you available as a speaker to come to events and what have
I
you?
I am. Yeah. So again, at MontinaPortis.com, there's information there. I'm available. I speak at law associations.
Sure.
And I also speak at other events where my Chamber of Commerce, where people are interested in marketing. And even if they're not my ideal clients, I'm still here to say you can your marketing anyway be intentional right. with it.
Intentional, yeah, that's a great takeaway. So stick around here, and we'll continue the conversation here in just a moment. And thanks again for being on the show.
It's my absolute pleasure to be on Business Radio X.
Nice, I love that branding and promoting. Maybe we'll have you in every week. Okay, so maybe a radio show is in your future, right?
Hey,
yeah, we'll talk
you never know,
offline.
Rich.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, we can make that happen. Yeah, right. Can we do that, Ryan?
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
We have the authority to do that, don't we?
Do,
yeah, we have
right.
the authority to do that.
Nice. No doubt about it.
Okay, so Ryan, let's introduce our next guest joining us here in the studio.
We have Sherry Von Klitzing. She started her career in the southeastern United States. She then lived in Europe and worked for 17 years based in Vienna, Austria, and Germany, servicing the needs of U.S. Embassy diplomats, United Nations diplomats, U.S. expatriates, and broad international clientele throughout Europe, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East and Asia. In 1996, she moved to New York City and practiced from Wall Street. From 2004 to 2008, she capitalized on the real estate boom in Florida and became President Circle loan originator. In the financial downturn, she relocated to Atlanta to take advantage of Georgia's growing prominence as an international city of business and trade in the Western Hemisphere. Welcome to the Business Radio X studio, Ms. Sherry Von Klitzing.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And so I think you definitely win the prize for the most traveled. I think you've been on virtually every continent, almost every country, certainly throughout Europe, right?
Pretty much. Even Africa. I guess South America is the only place I haven't been.
Right.
I've been in all the states. And one thing that I love about my company, which is Private Plus Mortgage here in Buckhead,
right.
is that we do write loans in 49 of the states.
Wow.
So I can reach out. I have a program for non-Americans, so we call those foreign national loans.
Right.
And I work, because I am fluent, as you might imagine, in French and German as well as English, I do a lot of work with the German and French companies that are coming into the area. I think that's one of the things that's propelling the growth in the real estate market and the recovery here in Atlanta.
What's the one state you don't do business in, Georgia or?
New Jersey. That's the toughie. And formerly I was
New
a
Jersey.
Financial.
Wow. Do you guys have a problem with those folks? Yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Oh.
The thing with New Jersey is you have to have a physical location
oh,
there,
okay, yeah.
and we just aren't prepared to set up shop there yet.
Well, there's probably office space available that new Mercedes-Benz is moving down here. You can take their old office space in New Jersey.
That's a thought, but if Mercedes moving down right. here, why bother?
Yeah, there's a reason why they're coming down here, yeah. All right, so and so what do you do? What's your day in the life of helping people in the real estate market in terms of mortgages?
I come from a consultative sell background,
okay.
and in mortgages, I am selling money. So I have a strong philosophy about why you should use other people's money to finance
okay,
your homes.
Nice. Nice.
As opposed to, for example, a Dave Ramsey who says, you know, pay off all your debt, including
right.
your house and so forth. I said earlier, I come from a financial planning background. And one of the things that I have done with my clients then and now is to educate them on the proper use of money. And with interest rates as low as they are now, why wouldn't you go out and borrow money to finance your home?
I mean, it's called leverage, right?
It's called leverage.
Right.
And then you can put that money aside that you're saving for college planning and for those retirements that you can't finance and so forth.
Now, you were around during those challenging years of the downturn, right?
Oh, yes.
That's definitive, absolute, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So what do you attribute, or what are some outcomes of the this propelling comeback that we're experiencing right now?
I think the economy is stronger. Unemployment is going down, and people are... They're ready to come back into the market. Everybody wants to own their own house. And the mortgage lenders are, even though it's still tough, underwriting is extremely tough, but it's becoming more and more reasonable. It was like the pendulum swing
right.
far to the right, and now it's coming back to a more central position so that the money is looser and people can actually access the money. If they have, you know, if they have credit, not too bad of credit. That's one thing. I do seminars on home buying, and that's one thing I stress is, yes, let's get our financial house in order.
Right.
But when it is in order and you can show responsibility, then yes, apply for that loan. We have like 3% conventional loans now. FHA is 3.5% down as well. So there are a lot of programs out there where you can qualify to get that money.
I don't know if you experienced it, but it's amazing to hear some people quibbling over, you know, 0.5% or less or whatever, right? And then I ran into a mortgage guy years ago, and he said he's been in it like 100 years, right? And he says back in the 70s, 80s, whatever, they had a sign on their wall that said, great news, it's only at 18% was mortgages, right? And they were all
That's
excited,
right.
You know, hit an all-time low of 18%. And that seemed like a bargain back in the day. Now people are like 3.75%, 3.875%. It's like, right?
That's right. And another thing that I love about Private Plus is that we strive to educate our clients on the benefits of getting a no closing cost loan. For example, we cut our cost out, but we can also cover those closing costs with a slight increase in rate. So if you qualify for at par, let's say 3.875%,
right.
Without bringing thousands of dollars to the table for closing, we can put you into a loan with a 4% interest rate.
Okay.
Let's just say for an example, I don't know what rates are at today, but then you have all of that money that you could put back into, for example, your child's education, retirement. There are all kinds of things you can do with that. And if interest rates go down within the next year or whenever, you haven't laid out a bunch of money to get that rate, that lower rate, so you can refinance again with no closing costs.
And you mentioned Private Bank of Buckhead has funding available in 49 states.
Private Plus.
Private Plus, I'm sorry, yeah. Because, we bank at Private Bank of Buckhead,
yes,
so that's what confuses me.
And we're the mortgage division.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. So Private Plus mortgage. So now, do you have agents that specialize in certain areas of the country, or obviously the bulk of your business comes from the South, I would imagine. Right.
We actually have a very strong advertising program.
Okay.
It's going to become even stronger in September. Our leader, Dan Smith,
right.
is going to work with, I think the guy's name is Charlie Osgood,
uh-huh.
who's on television,
okay.
So that we will increase our marketing efforts twice as strong as what they have been. And we, if we aren't out marketing and developing relationships for referral business,
right.
We are in the office receiving calls from all over, just depending on who's listening to that television station or radio station.
And are there significant differences beyond the South here or other parts of the country as far as, you know, the loan process that you deal with clients?
Yes, different states have different requirements, especially going into closing, so we have to be cognizant of that, but that's why we use real estate attorneys and title companies for closing, because they would be the ultimate authority on that.
And understandably, there's a lot of people in your space. So what kind of makes you all unique or different?
Simply our no closing cost loans.
Yeah.
I think that really makes us strong. We have a lot of delegated correspondent lenders that we work with, and then we can go outside to non-delegated correspondent, and then we can also go to brokers, so we can shop around to find the ideal product that might suit a person.
Yeah, we can tell you're obviously an expert in the residential real estate mortgage area, and also so well-traveled and around the world. You know, maybe you could speak a little bit to how now Atlanta has become such an international center of business.
Absolutely. I just got back from Scotland last month. My daughter lives there, and she had twins.
Oh, wow.
So I was there for a large part of May, and I took my heavy coat and my gloves.
Wow.
And I was never so happy to get back to Atlanta.
Right.
I said, I will never complain about Atlanta, because the weather is one thing that people really enjoy. There's a lot of cultural things going on here. I'm amazed at the Atlanta Opera that's world class. We support two Baroque orchestras, and then of course there's the ASO, in addition to all kinds of other cultural events that are going on. So yes, companies are in an ideal position coming into the Atlanta area. We see a lot of the European companies coming into the area. It's low cost for them to come down, a lot lower than if you're in New Jersey, for example, New York City area. So This is propelling a lot of the growth. Let's not forget the entertainment industry, Pinewood Studios, big filming studios coming into Norcross as well over the next year. So we see all kinds of companies coming in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the weather, you know, I'm born and raised right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've traveled around the world, and I love these Georgia summers, let me tell you. I'll never complain about the heat. I love it. This is a great place to be. And then our airport, you know, international airport, recognized, and so people can get in and out of the city, travel all around the world very easily, and business internationally just continues to grow here in this city.
Even with our 97-degree expected high today, you guys are fine with that?
I'll take it all day. Yes.
Yeah, speaking of international, obviously I was very intrigued when I saw your information come over to us about the countries you've lived and worked and traveled in and your background. Next week, we're actually doing a pilot show here in the studio, International Business Radio. Mm-hmm. And it's our first ever, and we've had actually a test pilot previous. We brought in the president of the World Chamber of Commerce. Right out our window, we have what the Atlanta... is Atlanta Trade Center or right?
World Trade Center.
World Trade Center, World Atlanta. Trade Center. Yeah, and there's the World Affairs Council.
Yes.
The French consulate's right here.
Yeah, right out our window is the French consulate. Speaking of your French background, so I was just kind of curious when we were talking to Montia a little bit earlier about networking and offline activity. Obviously, the private plus mortgage is the marketing arm in terms of, they have staff that do the online marketing, right? But what about offline for yourself? How do you meet new clients or develop new business? Do you go into any of these international networking events?
Absolutely. I regularly go to the German-American Chamber, or the French-American Chamber. I'm a member of the Alliance Française here.
What's that about?
And that's more of a social group. They are at Colony Square, but they have all kinds of lovely events. For example, they celebrate Bastille Day. They have a champagne and chocolate event in February after Valentine's.
Sign me up.
Yeah, everybody's rolling their eyes on that one. Yeah, let's do it.
So they have all kinds, and then they have the wine event, so wine tasting from all different countries. Actually, that's more of an international event.
Right.
And let's not forget to mention about the Atlanta Jazz Festival, which is one of the top ones in the world.
Really?
I just became aware of that this month, but it starts already in March and continues all through till the end of May.
Mm-hmm. Ryan's probably not familiar with that. You spend most of your time at Cowboys up in Kennesaw, don't you?
No, sorry, I have been to the Jazz Festival down there at Piedmont Park, but good try there.
Nice try. I know we got some other questions here, but I'm definitely intrigued by your background in this international. But you mentioned some other chambers of commerce or other activities that you might recommend?
Yes, chambers of commerce. There is I forget the name of all the things that I go to.
I think we were talking about it earlier. I think there's literally 38 international chambers of commerce. There's 81 consulates, foreign consulates, right here in our backyard, in our city.
Yeah.
So
that just speaks to the international, you know, city that we have here in Atlanta.
And I'm excited to kind of delve into the show. I'm going to buy my copy of Rosetta Stone for English so I can kind of ramp up for that. but maybe have you send some people our way for those shows. So how would people find out about you and your services?
Well, of course, I'm on the Private Plus website, but I also am active on Twitter. Yeah. I have a website, sherry-von-klitzing.brandedme.com.
Yeah.
And then I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook.
And you have an interesting Twitter handle, Baroness.
Yes, Baroness, at Baroness14. I was married to a German baron.
Oh, really?
Who is now deceased, yes. But that is kind of like my code.
Right. Yeah, nice, yeah. All right. So thanks for being on the show. Ryan, some closing comments, or maybe we'll go around to the guests one more time.
Yeah, would love
you
for everybody to
share your
share some more information about how people can find you or tweet you or get in touch with you.
And maybe beyond that, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you have a book that you're currently reading or have written, or a go-to book that you'd recommend, if you were mentoring someone, what's your favorite book on the list? And you don't have to do all these, or maybe an event or seminar coming up, or certainly your website. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
Yeah. David?
Tonight, Stuart? Dave is actually presenting at Peachtree City Library, one of our college planning workshops. So if you are in the Peachtree City area, we have an office down there as well, although Buckhead is still our favorite.
Nice. Yeah.
go see him tonight. It's going to be at 5:30.
Okay.
And any other speaking engagements or events coming up that this summer?
That's the main one. Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I'll be actually speaking at Hembry Library.
Okay.
So that will start at 6:00. So again, please reach out to us at Peachtree College Planning if you need further information.
Right, and find out where these guys will be next before you start saving for college for your youth as they get older these days. So
and they're going to be doing their next seminar in the Czech Republic. Yeah, it says right here. No, that's your seminar. Yeah.
With the Baroness.
nice. Yeah.
Montina.
So my website actually for our business is creativeinternetauthority.com, and that's where you can sign up for a webinar that we have, which is for attorneys that talks about how they can market online. And again, with my name, I'm very unique. So if you put my name in, I take up the first 100 pages And again, it's about information.
Absolutely, yeah.
Doing
yeah.
authority.
And so. You're all over Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn.
I'm everywhere.
And people
all
can find
you
or reach out to you there. Yes. If they're a small law firm and they want some marketing help, they can reach out. Or if they just want to learn more about how to maximize their marketing efforts, please reach out to Montina.
Yes.
Very good.
All right, Cherry.
Well, the Institute of Management Consulting is having a networking event Thursday evening over at Divine on Chambly Dunwoody Road. So that will be something I have coming up. And I'm planning a series of home buyer classes starting at the beginning of August, right after school starts. So I will be posting that on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, and speaking of events, I don't know if you have that information handy there one more time on behalf of the BBA, the PSA.
That's right. That's going to be Tuesday, June 23rd, 11:30 a.m., a signature luncheon featuring Coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons as he gives his first keynote address as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. So get your tickets at buckheadbusiness.org. Make sure you attend that event or reach out to the Buckhead Business Association if you want to get involved more.
Absolutely.
About what's going
that's
on there.
That's buckheadbusiness.org?
That's correct.
And for those listeners, while you go to the Marriott, just two doors down from us at the conference center, come by here. Ryan's going to be serving bagels and coffee or whatever, right? Somebody take a studio tour, which is a lot less than CNN's. There's, what, $18 a ticket? Yeah.
Ours is $18 cheaper than that.
No, at least $1.50, man. Come on, yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, very good. Another great show, Rich. Always fun and engaging with the different guests we have here today. So any final thoughts from you?
Just reminding our listeners once again, Buckhead Business Radio X, we're Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show.
Yes, and if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on our contact page at buckheadbusinessradiox.com. So thank you to Mr. Rich Casanova and all the rest of the Business Radio X family. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.